The Rage with John Bowd on www.traxfm.org.
Welcome to John Bowd's All The Rage. We're live today. We've been away for a couple of weeks, but don't worry, we're back. This week we'll be talking about a number of things. One of them is the awful mainstream media we have, not just in the UK. I think it's pretty prevalent throughout the world, certainly the superpowers of the world and the financial sectors of the world, that being London and America. But John, I'll leave it to you. Take it away.
Thanks, Dave. Hello again. It's nice to be back live. Now, we're doing something a little different this week. Specifically, we're going to just kind of riff off a couple of subjects rather than have a fully paid up, planned whole subject matter. This is, of course, because, you know, I want to try and test the abilities that we have here on the show, and nothing whatsoever to do with the fact that I basically didn't get my shit together to actually write a show this week. Not at all. Actually, that's not entirely true. To be fair, I've started work on one of the really important shows I want to do, which is about anti-fascism. What I didn't realise, I didn't have enough time to do it properly, because it's a subject that I care about greatly, and I really, really need to get that show absolutely in full, beautiful working order before we go ahead with it. Also, I'll be interviewing somebody in the coming weeks or so, hopefully, who knows a little bit more about the subject than I do, so I thought I'd get his input on that before we go into the full thing. So we're going to talk about a couple of things. As Dave mentioned, we're going to talk about the media and a couple of bits there, but before we do that, I just want to do a couple of updates. Some of you have listened in the past. You may remember when we spoke to Claudia Tebetdolov, who's from the United Voices of the World Trade Union and the Counselling Space. Well, I've been in contact with her today, and she's updated me on a couple of interesting things. Firstly, on the Counselling Space, they are looking at possibly expanding. Just to remind you all of who they are a community-based mental health organisation working in and around the Hackney area, and they provide services which include, you know, how to treat things like depression, anxiety, low self-esteem and stress, all those sort of things. They do, you know, cognitive behavioral therapy, behavior activation, all this kind of stuff, self-help. Specifically though, they are all about not charging people. They're more or less free, or they take donations, but that's about it. So they are within kind of working in the Hackney area, their main goal really is to be able to be available to absolutely everybody, regardless of their income, etc. They're looking at possibly expanding. So the office, excuse me, that they're in at the moment is looking at becoming bigger, which is great. So it means they will have more space to help people out. They're only open for one afternoon a week at the moment, so that means they're looking at having a better level of care for the community in that sense. So all praise to Claudia for her great work. Also, her petition, which you might be familiar with, that petition is on change.org. If you go past the ones, you know, telling you that little Tommy the fascist should be allowed out of jail, then you can find this one, because there is some good petitions on that site. Not that I'm angry with them. Her petition is "Make mental health support a right, not a luxury. End excruciating waiting lists in the NHS." She's up to 11,000 signatures already. Well, actually over 11,000, and looking to get to 15,000. She will also be delivering it at some stage to the Prime Minister and going to Downing Street. I'm hoping to find out when that is, and if I'm not too busy, I'm going to go along with my trusty recording device and do a little bit of a live report from All The Rage for you. That'll be fun. But I'm sure we can include a link to the petition in a few other things. In her other job, United Voices of the World, well, they've got a few things going on at the moment. According to their August was a bit of a busy month. They have an ongoing argument with their cleaners at the Ministry of Justice. And sometime around the 8th of August, they occupied the place. It's support for cleaners in poverty. They are pushing the Kensington and Chelsea Council to pay them more money for the job that they do. Kensington and Chelsea, Dave, that council rings a bell for some reason. We'll come back to that, I'm sure. Those that are currently employed on behalf of the Ministry of Justice are actually employed by an outsourcing giant called OCS, and they are paid £7.83 an hour, which is significantly below the widely recognised minimum wage pay rate to live a secure life in London. And they're on a strike as a part of a series of these. And if you give me 2 seconds, I've got a text to you, actually, that Claudia sent me earlier, telling me something else. Their next round of strikes, I believe, starts next Friday. She also asked me, am I on the WhatsApp or Facebook? What do you think, mate? No, I'm not on that. But they do have WhatsApp, they do have Facebook. Their website is, of course, www.uvwunion.org.uk. So please go and check that out. Lots of good stories on there. There's a whole section on stuff they've done in the media recently. You can get a lot of good information from that. And they were great. They're one of our favourites on All the Rage. They're one of these very young, highly motivated unions who have simply just got on with what needs doing. Like some of the folks now. TGI Fridays staff had a strike over the bank holiday weekend, but we'll talk about that a little bit later on. Or if not, we'll cover it next week. All right, so I broadly wanted to talk a little bit about the media this evening. I suppose specifically the British media, because that's where we happen to live, that's where this show is coming from, and we have quite a lot of experience of them in both our personal lives and as trade unionists. Now, as I say, this isn't a massively prepared lecture about the media, not a lot of facts and figures are the kind of stuff I would normally go in for. Equally, it isn't just a very simple rant, because I could sum up my feelings about the British media very, very briefly and we could all go home early. A bunch of fetid scum of the lowest order slowly puking their bile onto the world around us and hurting lots of people in the process. Also making heroes out of really, really appalling human beings. But I'm not going to do that. No. We'll kick off the no doubt never-ending debate with covering something that last week journalist Owen Jones wrote about. And he wrote about how privileged the media class is, and having a better level of material position in your background provides you with more opportunities to get into the media. He talked about it being a bit of a closed shop, based very much on connections, who you know, what school you went to, this kind of thing. Also pointed out that the people who are more likely to be able to get into media in this country are those with a better level of support, such as families that can take care of them. Help them out, the bank of mum and dad, as it's often called, unpaid, therefore they can take unpaid internships and have enough money to travel to certain places. Not, I would say, a particularly controversial opinion. We'll get to that in a minute, because Owen did provide us with a few facts and figures, and it's also pretty blatantly obvious that much of the media is a highly middle-class closed shop that's effectively shut off to most of the working class. This was specifically brought up around Labour's announcements in regard their ideas for media reform, which, again, we'll return to later on. We'll come back to that a bit. In fact, back in April, actually, Owen had also covered this subject off in his Guardian column. I think it was his Guardian column. And he then later did an interview with Aaron Bastani of Navarra Media. He mentioned, as we already said, the cult-like activity of the British media, their intolerance of critics, the tremendous amount of groupthink that runs around the place, and I mean tremendous as in large, not as in good, and the hounding of people they dislike or who criticise them, and people who really do get quite angry if you ever point out that they come from a fairly privileged background in order to be where they are. He later got the full pile-on treatment via his Twitter page mostly, and quite a few middle-class snowflakes had massive meltdowns in screaming about how they were the brightest and the best and they'd only got where they were through genuine, decent, hard work. Well, okay. I mean, looked at the figures and all this, that proved that Britain's media is profoundly unrepresentative of the population of this country by race, class and gender, most certainly in senior roles, because it's very, very, very much a male-dominated state of affairs. I don't know. Dave, why don't you, before I go on, what do you think about it? I mean, I'm assuming you read the article that Owen wrote.
I like Owen. I do like Owen. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes he's... I didn't particularly like his attack on Jeremy, or whoever it would, and then he just changed suit. So I read his stuff with a hint. I don't dive headfirst into it, John. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I mean, I would defend the fellow a little bit. Is that I don't necessarily think he attacked Mr. Corbyn, but he did look at what anyone would look at, perhaps in, I mean, before we learnt the enlightened viewpoint in this world of never bother paying any attention to polls, the polls were quite graphic before we went into the general election. And also, let's not forget, as far as we're concerned, certainly I know I feel this way, and I think you do, the great surge of excitement we had when Labour's manifesto was leaked, and everyone was going, oh, look at these terrible left-wing ideas like getting rid of zero-hour contracts and renationalising the railways and stopping people being ripped off and taken advantage of. And all of a sudden, the polls narrowed a tad. I'm not quite sure I can remember any other party that went up 15 points in about the third week of a general election campaign, but there you go. So, I mean, I can understand where he was coming from with that, but that's, you know, I give him a bit of a break on that front. But actually, let's just go past this. Specifically, I want to talk about his. So I'll go through this. This is the article that he posted last week. It's actually on Medium, and it was posted on August the 26th. And he says, Britain's national media is profoundly unrepresentative of the British population by every measure, as we mentioned already. Most of the press is owned by right-wing oligarchs. A large majority of press outlets backed the Conservatives in last year's elections. The print media has systematically whipped up hatred against Muslims, migrants, refugees and benefits claimants, including through dishonesty and outright lies. And he also goes on to say that the polling has been taken that shows that the British public widely overestimate everything from the level of benefit fraud to the number of immigrants in Britain to levels of teenage pregnancy, and media coverage is partly to blame. And he also talks about front pages of the Daily Mail during times when we were debating the power that should be granted to British Parliament and British judges in regards to the Brexit negotiations, in which they screamed that judges were enemies of the people, saboteurs and traitors. Again, some of you who are a bit au fait with history, particularly mid-30s and German history, might be familiar with those kind of headlines. They're not very nice. So yeah, I mean, I think he's bang on the money there. We're always talking about that on this show, that people have a go at Muslims and immigrants and make up a load of shit about them.
Well, it's odd. I mean, I did skim over the article, but I did put up a post today on Facebook, on my personal Facebook page, and it was a tweet, but I captured the screenshot and I put it up, and it says, "You are what you read," and on it is a set of headlines from the Daily Mail, the Sun, the Daily Express.
Yeah.
And there's headlines on it, and it's quite interesting because when you put these all together, there's a headline from one of them that goes, "Britain goes halal." There's a picture of a woman in a burqa. This is the front pages, by the way. This is not the inside. This is on the front pages. You can see it a mile off. A woman in a burqa called Unveiled. There's a headline called Ramadama Ding Dong. Muslim plot to kill poppies. It's
how do you kill a poppy exactly?
Yeah,
pull it up by its roots.
They're making an allegation. Well, it's a big allegation on the front page that says they're trying to get rid of Poppy Day. Not they. I don't know who, you know. Muslim loonies hijack election, so I'm presuming they mean the general election.
Right.
Muslims tell Britain to go to hell. These are all headlines from last year. So I had to put it up because the tweet says, "You are what you read." And it's crazy. I had a debate with someone yesterday that just decided, he's the same age as me, so we're both over 50, that just decided that the island conflict, the Troubles, was all down to a certain section of people trying to kill the RUC. And I had to remind him that there was all parties involved with violence. Then he said Sinn Féin was causing all the violence. We had to put him right. Sinn Féin was the political arm of the IRA, which was trying to get the IRA, the provisional IRA to... Anyway, this is someone basically believes what he read. Then he believed that the government weren't negotiating with the IRA and the AEs. Wrong. Wrong. That's my Eddie Murphy impression. And it just goes on and on. You and I go back to the tweet, you are what you read. So yes, John, I do 100% agree with Owen on that. And I'm sick to the back teeth of it. We're going to go to a music break before I throw up.
Just before we go, though, I've got to say something before we go. I am utterly taken aback and totally shocked by something you said there. I had no idea you were over 50. Carry on.
Oh, John. John's full of compliments today. We'll be back after this.
All the rage. All the on Tracks FM. Tracks FM. Tracks FM.
Da 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 da. Oh yes.
There's only one way to righteousness. Foggy now, about a Jah will guide. Time, you better be positive, so positive, and so the Jack and God.
Cause there's only one way to
leave us one. Show down the guns. Stop the war. Time to leave us one. I say
there's only one way to
carry on, mate.
Yeah, you're listening to John Baird's All the Rage. Me and John, we're talking about, as I said, I had a debate with someone online yesterday, and I'm just shocked sometimes some of the things people believe what they read, and they have a set agenda, or that's it. And you get 5 minutes of news on the telly, bang, that's it. That set your mind up. Read. Sometimes there's books, you know. I know they're closing libraries, but there's articles online. I think there's so much information. And you get a balance. John, take it away.
Yeah, I quite agree. People should get a better balance on things. But then, unfortunately, we are in a land that very much has the mindset of I'm not really going to... I made my mind up about the world when I was 18, and I'm not really going to change it now, which I find a very bothersome way of thinking, but I think a lot of people do that. It's funny, though, the kind of idea of being... I mean, we do need to be balanced in the way you look at things, but it's an odd thing that people have almost fetishized rather than actually done anything effective on. The BBC do it, and they think that their idea of being balanced is, for instance... here's an overwhelming amount of proof that climate change is occurring. But to represent the 3% of scientists who don't agree with that around the world, we'll get this one utter crank to come on and start ranting about some shit, and therefore we've been balanced. And you haven't actually, you've just kind of poisoned the well, among other things, because you give credence to, it's effectively saying that you can say and do whatever you want to. And if it's an alternative opinion to what either is the present norm or what we decide passes for the present norm, let's say, okay, we can just include you on there. There is also the issue, by the way, with the BBC that they sources have told me that basically some of their favourite guests are the one who always say yes. So producers basically take an easier route and go, we had him on last week. He's a good wind-up guest, a clockwork guest, as in we wind him up and he does the same thing. So we'll just bring him on. And that would cover people like Peter Hitchens, God bless him, the fierce, demented Islamophobe Douglas Murray, who often shows up at my license fee payer's expense, not to sound like one of the Gammon Squad, but I'm paying for this. Yeah, I fucking am paying for it. It's disgusting. And people like that. But I want to specifically look at the point of why I'm talking about this. Is of how the British media constructs things. Now, I would advise anyone, going back to what you said before the music break, by the way, that new song was better in Sound Clash One Way, and it's actually the B-side to the single 1215 Boy. Not a great band, in my opinion, but occasionally come out with some really, really nice singles, and that particular single is, I'd really recommend. It's got that, and it's got a lovely cover of a Bad Brains song on there that I can't think of the name of for a minute. Oh, it's Sailing On, that's it, it's Sailing On, yeah, well worth getting. Anyway, so as you said before the music break, Dave, there was the headlines you were talking about are very much of a type to provide a constructed narrative. Now, you know, if you people want to know what a constructed narrative is, I'm not sure, seriously, look it up. I'm not talking shit off the top of my head here, okay? They have decided that there is a particular story that they wish to communicate, and that is what they will do so. When it comes to, for instance, Islamophobia, one of the worst ones is the Daily Star, which is notorious for it. Had journalists actually leave the place saying, I can't work here anymore because I'm just making up lies about, you know, trying to ban bacon and stuff. So they just gone. And it's also, I think, fundamentally important in the making of certain personalities. So I'll pick on a couple, neither of them very surprising. Nigel Farage, actually, if he wants to be called Farage, you can go to France. Nigel Farage, who is, of course, an absolute establishment figure, without any shadow of a doubt, privately educated, used to be a city boy, has made money the way it is for working class people when these bastards get their hands on the coffers of cash, constantly portrayed as some kind of anti-establishment figure, as a voice of the voiceless, never actually held political office in the UK, because he stood, I think, I can't remember, is it five, is it seven times, and failed every time. He used to want to stand for the Conservative Party, but they thought he was a bit far gone, which is saying something, for the party that gave us Philip Davis, Bob Blackman, and Boris Johnson, among others. Well, even they thought he was too far gone. No, he was basically just pandered around the place. And it's got to be said, the BBC have been really fundamental in giving him a career on programmes like Question. Yeah, okay, Question Time is a load of bullshit, and you're a mug if you watch it. Okay, fair enough. I take that on board. But it does reach a lot of people. They do watch this stuff, and they will get an idea within their head about how the way things are run, the way things are going. Oh, this guy's speaking for people like me who feel left behind. I've even had people, you know, talk about the being part of a kind of left behind culture. And it's like, dude, you're younger than me. Where were you left behind? You know, you don't even remember industrialization. Okay, you squeezed out after it was over. You don't even. Where is this coming from? Anyway. And he's one example. and another would be, of course, Little Tommy. Now, Little Tommy, Stephen Lennon Yanksley Robinson, whose name I refuse to get right because he's not worthy of it. He is an utter failure, folks. Okay, he started the English Defence League, which is effectively dead in the water now. It was nothing more than an attractor for ex-BNP and other far-right types, football hooligans, and fierce, demented Islamophobes whose sole purpose was to scare Muslim people in the street. Okay, anti-fascists beat them back, ground them down. He ended up leaving, claiming that there was too many extremists there. And he was basically, he was done. And then, of course, came the backing that he has from the likes of Rebel Media, the far-right Canadian group, media group, plus lots of other far-right groups in the US, including Middle East Forum, who also work with the aforementioned Douglas Murray, I believe, and are active in promoting Islamophobia, particularly in the Western world. Also something, Douglas Murray seems to be rather popular with certain people such as Stephen Pollard and Rabbi Sachs, but we'll come to that in a different show because I don't want to make any flippant comments about that. It's a very serious subject. But in the meantime, listeners, before we do come to that, please go and look up what I'm talking about. These are people who have basically had their careers made and extended because parts of the British media, and in the case of the backing that Tommy has from the Canadian media and far right groups, but they have decided to construct this. Now, you see a lot of this happening in America too. A recent example would be, I won't go into too much detail because it's not that interesting, but Alan Dershowitz, the well-known lawyer and lecturer, went in. There was a whole bunch of very serious newspaper magazine think pieces about how he's become a pariah among other rich liberals in places like Martha's Vineyard when he goes there for summertime because he's spoken up in favour of things to do with Donald Trump. Firstly, who gives a shit? Sorry, Alan Dershowitz hasn't got any friends. What? How is that news? Who cares? Genuinely. What does it, you know? And I'm sure the argument would be, oh, well, it represents something of the blah 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 whatever. It's not. It's garbage. Okay. And secondly, nobody who ever interviews Alan Dershowitz ever asks him what he was doing on Jeffrey Epstein's plane. That's an entirely different issue. Go and look it up. Okay. Sounding a bit Alex Jones tonight. Anyway, follow the documents, folks. But the point is, you know, it is a built media construction. This is an issue they want to talk about, they want you to talk about, for whatever reason. It's not led by real interests from the people, as it were. It is led by what editors want. And as we mentioned, and as Owen mentioned in his article, the majority of print media in this country is owned by very, very rich people. Many of them are outside of the British tax system, whether they reside here or otherwise. And all of them supporters of the Conservative Party, no matter how hard right they go, which is going to give you a distorted view. Simple as that. It can't not do it. I mean, it's against, but you know, you talk about having arguments with people, Dave. You know, in the past, look, I'm not the world's biggest fan of any government that Cuba have ever had, but there are very important elements and differences and nuances in the Cuban political system that I happen to like. I like a place that has a 100% literacy. I like a place that has great healthcare that's available to people no matter what, that trains doctors to go out to other parts around the world, to the poorest countries around, you know. But sometimes people just, they just won't have it. You know, Cuba is bad. It's awful. It's communist. It imprisons people. It's blah, blah. And that's the narrative. That's the only thing they want to talk about. Not to mention the rest of Latin America. Which is on equal footing. I mean, try have a sensible conversation with anyone about Venezuela these days. It's a nightmare. So yeah, sorry. What add to it, please, Dave? Come in.
No, I know you mentioned Tommy, and this is everything. So I'm trying to get everything. So I don't, John, you touched on other stuff, and I've looked at Little Tommy, whatever his bloody name is. His argument, and I've been looking at studies across, so I'm looking at the late studies of UK males going to the Far East, and I discounted all the UK studies, and I looked at Boston College in the USA. They did a wicked study from 1990, and there are over thousands and thousands and thousands by UK male visits to the Far East. So we're talking Philippines and Thailand, who perform or engage in child pornography, and it has been for years. And I wonder where the protest is on that in this country. You know, I'm all for equality. I just want to see. I think that's disgusting, actually. My view. And when I was reading the stats, or in Dubai, which was a successful campaign, actually, where they were using children for camel racing, and the children. And I went there and saw it myself. What happened to children? So India was selling their children to camel racers in Dubai, and because of the racing, the child, because they're not fully developed, the child would have problems from 9 years old with their internal organs, because they were riding the camels constantly. And the children's charity, I forgot their name, John. Anyway, they thankfully, it was a brilliant campaign, and they put a stop to it. I actually saw it because it wasn't banned then, and my wife and I were actually distraught when we saw these children. No campaigns in this country. Nothing. No YouTube. Nothing. And if we're going to... What is it exactly, you know... Do successful campaigns have to mean that one has to create hate... Hate, and I was talking to someone, an old timer. He actually mentioned when he was coming up in the 50s, they were told no blacks, no Irish. In the 70s, he said we were scared of the Irish because we didn't know who was going to blow us up. And he said now we're scared about the Muslims because we're scared they're going to blow us up. So he put it in a good way, you know. He wasn't being horrible. He just said, isn't it odd? You know, one minute we're scared of the Irish, next minute now we're scared of the Muslims.
Yeah.
And he was just talking out loud. He said, it's funny how things change and they put things in your head, you know. But where are the campaigns for these little things? And it's something I'm very in my heart about, those children, the camel racing, you know, because I saw it and it's horrible. Where were those campaigns? Why don't we stop UK males going and having underage sex in Thailand? Because everyone thinks it's funny here. It's funny. Oh, you're going out there, lady boys and all that. It's all funny, isn't it? But here, we're given something in our head called a fear factor. It said, these people, these Muslims are going to take your young daughters and run off with them. John, don't get me started. Take it away.
Yeah, I mean, there's some very, very good points that you bring up there. There's a tremendous amount of race hatred and class hatred involved. I mean, let's be honest. I'm going to do a quick spin around here, because I'm going to come back to a little bit about Brexit as well. The fact of the matter is, a good portion of people, and definitely followers of little Tommy and his ilk, do not give a fuck about anybody else's kids. If they're not white, they care about them even less. And if they're in any other part of the world, they don't matter. I suspect many of their attitudes would be to what you've mentioned there. Well, you know, that's Thailand's problem. They should do something about it. They should arrest these people or whatever else. As I have mentioned on the show before, and I think it was on the one you repeated last week, sexual relations with children, particularly young ones, is a vastly white-dominated crime, and always has been. European white men have a thing for kids, often have done. It's probably a part of our culture, which we're worried about disappearing as part of the onslaught of Islamic destruction of our culture. By the way, quick word on the ideas of whether or not Western culture is being eroded. Tell me what you've actually created in recent times, because all I can see when I look around the place is bloody superhero films and some of the shittest music I've ever heard. So I think some things deserve to be destroyed. Anyway, yes, that's funny enough. That's one of those things where I'm those kind of people that you know get annoyed when we have these ideas of, oh, you know, your kids get a gold medal for trying or whatever. Yeah, okay. Think about British culture in the context of that. It doesn't deserve a gold medal for trying. It doesn't deserve a medal. It deserves to be melted down like an old medal because it's shite. Anyway, yeah, I mean, you pick up a very, very good example. I mean, to be honest with you, I don't even think it's that people didn't necessarily go for, you know, kids riding camels. I don't think they even knew about it, because that doesn't come into their orbit. Why would it come into the kind of newspapers that they read? Why would it come into the kind of programmes they watch? Was it even covered on the 6 o'clock news on the BBC? I don't remember seeing it.
No, and that's what I'm saying. If it's certain things that they make us aware of. I think the media make us aware of certain things that frighten us. One of the first things that they'll do is put fear. The financial crash, it's all your fault, and if you don't do something about it, you won't be able to get any cash out of the cash machines. I swear to God, that was the headlines.
Yeah,
no,
I remember.
Yeah. You can't get any money out of the cash points. There you go. All gone, all forgotten. It's disgusting.
Yeah, I mean, I think there is a general habit among the working class and our cultures, but particularly in Britain, in a country that it still has the horrible overhang of deference, of not taking on your betters, not taking on people who are more powerful than you. It's one of the things that makes me frightened about someone like Jacob Rees-Mogg or even Boris Johnson. As hideous and ludicrous characters as they are the classic examples that some people in this country absolutely love to be ruled by. They're like, yes, I want that guy around. He comes from old money, so he must have done something right because he's got a lot of it. He needs to tell us all what to do. And there is a habit of never actually going above. I mean, if you take an example of certain court cases, no matter what they're about, that people aren't happy with the result or they get very angry about it, when do they ever go after the judge? They talk about the politics, and this might be unpopular to speak in favour of politicians, but they do make law to a degree, of course, as part of legislation. But judges carry it out. They're the people who are more involved in this, and they never go after those people because it's kind of like they're better than you, they're smarter than you, so you don't fuck with them. There was an interesting thing I heard today because Gina Miller was on the radio today. I was having a little listen to her, and for those of you that don't know, Gina Miller launched a campaign to get British courts to properly enforce the democratic elements of the leave of the United Kingdom leaving the European Union. She wanted, among other things, wanted a proper vote on the deal. She wanted, you know, better accountability. For this, she got from many elements of the British media and people like Nigel Farage, she got a full-on hate campaign launched against her. She got death threats, and to this day, she still has security detail with her at various times and various events. And one of the many things that annoys me about this, not only that somebody who attempted to stand up for British democracy in a genuine sense, not just waving their pint in the air in the pub, was greeted with death and rape threats, told that she was foreign scum and should piss off back where she came from, etc., etc. You've heard it all before. And was subjected to similar things that Diane Abbott is subjected to, which is, I don't like this dark-skinned woman who's a shitload smarter than I am. She got a lot of that. But it was actively encouraged by the likes of Farage and those kind of people on social media. And what does that say about the wonders of your fellow countrymen, that we subject people like that? Well, I'll tell you what it says, in my opinion. One of the things that bugs me is that people are often very tentative and reticent about what we say about the 52%, the people who voted to leave, the supposedly left behind communities, all of which are subjects for wider discussion on later shows. And it will come, I promise. But some of the things that we never say, which I think are really, really important, are the following. Is that someone phoned in to complain at the show? I will, go on. The 52%, if you voted to leave, as far as I'm concerned, absolutely any racist attack in this country, any xenophobic attack, anyone who's told to fuck off back to their own country and made to feel very uncomfortable in front of their children or anything else like in the street, made to feel under threat, anyone who is sent a death threat, some of that is on you, all of you, okay? And I personally will never forgive you for it. And one of the things that people seem to be in this country, where everyone's obsessed with speaking their mind, as long as it's the mind of a very far right person, everyone's about telling the truth and never backing down and not being PC. Okay, well, this is one of the reasons, one of the things we don't talk about, and I understand why politicians don't do it, because they look for votes. But fortunately for you listening folks, I'm not in this for anybody's vote. Most of the people who voted for Brexit and other things like that are hate-filled. They are of lesser education. Now, that's not, bear in mind what I said there, okay? Listen to me, folks. I didn't say intelligence. I said education. And they are easily manipulated. And I personally hate the majority of them and will never forgive them. So, but the idea is, I mean, I know that you think that many of you think that that's what people like me think. Okay, sitting here with my radio show and a falafel sandwich in my hand and some very posh tea. Yeah, I love all that shit, not going to deny it. Okay, I know that's what you think of me. Now, what I would ask for people on the other side, on a centre-left or even centrist side, you have this obsession with the idea that you're going to win these people over, or you're going to kind of listen to their concerns, which are usually just factless, gibbering racism and hypocrisy, as we've already discussed, particularly in the last 20 minutes of the show. Yeah. So you think you're going to address... No, you're not, because they hate you. Okay? They hate me. They perceive the land they live in as being one thing, and they perceive it's going in a direction they don't like, and it's the likes of you and me that are responsible for doing that. They hate us, they'll never forgive us, they'll never support us, and they'll never vote for you. Saying that, it's always been very interesting to me, again, the fact that Mr. Jones has written about a few times, of the amount of people who even identified as UKIP voters at one point, who are in favour of renationalising the railways, etc. Okay, another classic example. You talk about UKIP, you voted UKIP. Have you ever looked at any of their actual policies? Have you ever read a manifesto? Because so often I hear people coming from the heartlands of this great land that were absolutely gutted by Margaret Thatcher, who say they hate her and they never forgive her. Well, UKIP are arch Thatcherites. They are Thatcherites on steroids. There is nobody who is a member of that organisation, I won't call them a political party because that's a fucking joke, quite frankly, who are a member of that organisation who are not in favour of 1980s deregulation, neoliberalism, all of that stuff, you know, attack. Make the working class and the poor as disparate and desperate as possible. That is always going to be their policies. So why would you even vote for something like that? I can only assume it's because you're thick. Unless you give me a reason to think otherwise. So, over to you, 52%. I mean, the idea of, you know, they say, oh, we feel like some people are shutting us out of society. Yeah, you know, you call people racial slurs. You know, you don't like women in the workplace. You don't like gay people. You're fucking right I'm trying to shut you out of wider society, because I want to live in a decent place where people like you aren't given a platform, you scumbag. Why doesn't anyone just admit that? I'm fine. I'm totally cool with saying that. I really, really hate you. Okay, I don't want you in wider society, and I want you to piss off back down the pub, because it's all you're good for. Anyway, but of course, we do have to try and win some people over with our policies and our ideas. Your go, Dave. Well, maybe we should have a music break.
When we come back, we'll be continuing this interesting talk. Just on a debate I had with someone about the IRA, the all-bad IRA. One philosophy put forward by this individual was that it was Ian Paisley that started the peace process. I had to remind them that Ian Paisley was actually anti-gay, anti-same-sex marriage, and was consistently protesting against it. John Bowes, All the Rage.
All the Rage. All the on Tracks FM. Tracks FM.
Kiss.
Bowers all the rage here on www.tracksfm.org. Tensions are getting a bit high, but I wasn't slagging off anyone that I was debating with the other day. It's what I was more astounded at is what they actually believed, and that's what John's talking about, the stuff they put in people's minds, you know. And grown adults walk around with this view that what they've just read, just one piece of evidence. A publication created by a billionaire who doesn't even live here, and says, you know, this is what we want and you're going to do it because we're going to put fear in your minds and you're going to vote the way we want you to vote. And just to be clear, do watch that documentary, The Killings of Tony Blair, and it will explain his relationship with the media in this country. John, take it away.
Okay, thanks, mate. Right, so in our closing 10 minutes, I'm just going to refer back to a little bit of stuff related to Owen Jones's article from August the 26th and the previous ones he'd written in April. So just to remind folks, or if you're only just joining us now, this is regarding the media being a closed shop to those with enough privilege and a certain kind of class background in order to be able to operate in it. Again, I'd argue pretty uncontroversial. However, many a columnist and their like and a few journalists ranted and raved about this. In the meantime, let's not forget much of what we've discussed tonight about what the British media does, not least the demonisation of working class communities. Owen wrote a very interesting part in his first book, Chavs, The Demonisation of the Working Class, about Dewsbury Moor, where Shannon Matthews went missing, and that particular story, which is a pretty shocking example when you go back, if you'd forgotten about that story, which to some degree I had, when you go back and look at it, it is pretty shocking. However, many of those working in the media with their strange mix of conservative, liberal, neoliberal, centrist ideals, which is actually a political ideal. For many years, centrism tried to kind of advertise itself as the everybody working together and bipartisanship and all that kind of stuff. That's crap. I mean, what we've seen with the emergence of a powerful left wing in both this country, with the complete unwillingness of to subject the Conservative Party to this and investigating their great Islamophobia, of which there's plenty of evidence. It also shows their utter hypocrisy. And it probably helps to explain why newspaper circulation is crashing and people are switching off from supposedly flagship BBC programmes like the Today programme on Radio 4. Nevertheless, these places feed each other. The Today programme always has a what's on the front pages or what's inside the newspapers. BBC News, if you watch the TV channels at the end of the night, they have what the papers say, or whatever they call it now, looking at the press, you know, whatever. I was reminded, actually, looking through all of this and preparing for what little preparation I actually did tonight, of what Noam Chomsky once said about, don't you just, do you imagine, Dave, somewhere there's somebody with like a left-wing scorecard for this show, and they're waiting for me to mention certain things, and now I've mentioned Chomsky, they might have actually got a bingo. I certainly hope so. Anyway, Noam Chomsky once talked about, in going back to the 90s, which we, many of us, don't seem to have escaped from, that censorship worked in a slightly different way now, in that newspapers and media outlets just made sure they hired people who they knew were never going to write anything that they didn't agree with. Now, if you want a British example of this, I would think of two people as columnists, just because we haven't got a lot of time now. So just in closing, I'll just talk about this. One is Peter Hitchens, who moved from the Express to the Mail on Sunday. One is Richard Littlejohn, who moved from the Sun to the Daily Mail. Now, whoever it was that presided over those moves at the new newspaper that they work for, do you imagine that they thought any time that when hiring either of these two people, they're ever going to write anything that we don't like? Just consider that as part of my closing. Right, I was just going to give a quick plug to a couple of upcoming shows. We haven't got time to talk about the TGI Fridays strike, but I will endeavour to do that either next week or sometime soon. Also, I recently did an interview with the writer Rhiannee Jones, who did the book Clampdown, which I referred to a lot on the last couple of shows where we did about British culture. She writes a lot about music and stuff like that. It's a very good interview with some possibly slightly grim sound, because we did record it in a pub, but we'll get that up and running and put that out sometime very, very soon. So I hope you want to tune in. Dave, over to you.
Thanks very much, John. We'll be back next Wednesday. Thank you very much, John.
With John Bowd on www.tracksfm.org.
Liberal, neoliberal, centrist ideals, which is actually a political ideal. For many years, centrism tried to kind of advertise itself as the everybody working together and bipartisanship and all that kind of stuff. That's crap. I mean, what we've seen with the emergence of a powerful left wing in both this country and America is that actually centrism is extremely ideological, even though it poured scorn on the very notion of political ideology for years. But anyway, one of the things they have, of course, is an obsessive dedication to concepts of meritocracy and effectively means testing everything. Everything is about working hard. Anyone who doesn't make it is basically a loser. Now, if you want infallible proof of this, in my opinion, it is how shallow all of these shrills have been in the way that they have responded in these two rounds of massive overreaction in regards to the words that Irene Jones has written in regards to the British media. They basically have a world that's built on sand, and he is a heavy rain. One of the things he also points out, which I agree with, is there are hardly any left-wing people with a platform in British media. And the ones that there are get treated like cranks, even after, again, as we mentioned earlier, an overtly left-wing political party nearly won a general election last year in this country, and it had the third highest share of the vote since the early 1970s. But no, us lefties, we're all delusional Marxists, and we're a fringe group, even as the Labour Party becomes the fastest-growing political party in Western Europe, particularly left-wing political party. But no, for these people, the end of politics, the end of history wasn't 1989 as far as political history is concerned. It was 1997. And that was it. It was just they'd reached the peak of all things that can ever be achieved politically, with no attempt to change the economic reality of anyone's everyday life, and consensus being the thing to desire. Also, an interesting case of that is, among other places, a very good article on Jacobin magazine in regards to John McCain, who died earlier this week. And the American equivalent of what I'm talking about is a very, very detailed article about what really fucking horrible person he was. Anyway, the British media has increasingly gone to the right, along with the establishment in this country in recent years, and refusing to recognise the extremism that they have helped to promote, which we discussed earlier. We've seen attacks on immigrants and refugees go up, demonisation of working class people carry on and on and on, demonisation of Muslims, disabled people, immigrants, and very, very little ability to actually engage in the undoubted complete clusterfuck that's going to be Brexit. while categorising the left as loony extremists, claiming we're no better than fascists, which I hate to take a rather uppity tone, but that's something that really offends me. Not that any of you care, I'm sure, but I just thought I'd put that on the record. And again, all of this coming from newspapers that are owned by people who have always danced with the far right, such as the Daily Mail. Hurrah for the black shirts. Isn't that right? Some of us remember that, some of us don't. But no, it's the left that are traitors who are in league with foreign power brokers and terrorists, etc., etc. The obsession with anti-Semitism within the Labour Party has seen a very serious issue basically become a joke in our media, with the complete unwillingness of to subject the Conservative Party to this and investigating their great Islamophobia, of which there's plenty of evidence. It also shows their utter hypocrisy. And it probably helps to explain why newspaper circulation is crashing and people are switching off from supposedly flagship BBC programmes like the Today programme on Radio 4. Nevertheless, these places feed each other. The Today programme always has a what's on the front pages or what's inside the newspapers. BBC News, if you watch the TV channels at the end of the night, they have what the papers say or whatever they call it now. Looking at the press, you know, whatever. I was reminded, actually, looking for all of this and preparing for what little preparation I actually did tonight, of what Noam Chomsky once said about don't you just do you imagine, Dave, somewhere there's somebody with like a left-wing scorecard for this show, and they're waiting for me to mention certain things, and now I've mentioned Chomsky, they might have actually got a bingo. I certainly hope so. Anyway, Noam Chomsky once talked about, in going back to the 90s, which we many of us don't seem to have escaped from, that censorship worked in a slightly different way now, in that newspapers and media outlets just made sure they hired people who they knew were never going to write anything that they didn't agree with. Now, if you want a British example of this, I would think of two people as columnists, just because we haven't got a lot of time now. So just in closing, I'll just talk about this. One is Peter Hitchens, who moved from The Express to The Mail on Sunday. One is Richard Littlejohn, who moved from The Sun to The Daily Mail. Now, whoever it was that presided over those moves at the new newspaper that they work for, do you imagine that they thought any time that when hiring either of these two people, they're ever going to write anything that we don't like? Just consider that as part of my closing. Right, I was just going to give a quick plug to a couple of upcoming shows. We haven't got time to talk about the TGI Fridays strike, but I will endeavour to do that either next week or sometime soon. Also, I recently did an interview with the writer Rhiannee Jones, who did the book Clampdown, which I referred to a lot on the last couple of shows where we did about British culture. She writes a lot about music and stuff like that. It's a very good interview with some possibly slightly grim sound, because we did record it in a pub. But we'll get that up and running and put that out sometime very, very soon. So I hope you want to tune in. Dave, over to you.
Thanks very much, John. We'll be back next Wednesday. Thank you very much, John.
With John Bowd. www.tracksfm.org